One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
The family of Adrienne Quintal, who had been missing since mid-October of 2019, told the news that they were offering a $10,000 reward for any information relating to her case. Quintal had managed to get a brief message out via her cell phone saying that there were two individuals trying to get into the cabin she was staying at, and that she had even shot one of them in the face. After this phone call, she would vanish without a trace, never to be seen again, at least not alive. Later, it would be decided and told to the public that Ada had actually died of a drug overdose, despite the fact that she was found not far from the cabin, submerged in 3 feet of water. But what really happened to her? And what is it about shadowy, strange figures in the woods and Michigan missing person cases? I'm your ghost, John. Welcome to the 21CD Podcast. Let's get into it. Hey guys, welcome back to the 21CD Podcast. As always, I'm your ghost, John. I'd like to encourage everybody to like, follow, share, subscribe, rate 5 stars, do whatever you do wherever you are. The 21CD Podcast desperately needs your help to grow, and all of these things aid us monumentally. So if you've got a weird friend who's interested in this kind of stuff, please do not hesitate to share us with them. We need to reach new people. Lately, I've been trying to get interviews or get literally anybody to talk to me on the 21CD Podcast, but everybody is booked up well into next year, so for the time being, we will just continue being lonely on the 21CD Podcast and just continue talking to ourselves. Yeah, so as you guys heard from the intro, we are talking about the mysterious case of Adrienne Quintal. This is another Michigan missing 411 case that is particularly bizarre, and I was going to cover this in the Colin Finnerty episode, which is on the YouTube and on the podcast somewhere. It's a few episodes back. It's something from last week. But this one is particularly weird to me. It only took place about an hour from Baldwin, which is where Colin Finnerty went missing. And once again, it revolves around two strangers who come out of the woods, and that's kind of the last message that is received before the victim disappears. So a little bit of background. What seems to be the story, and I know you guys know how it is, but I just have to say it. You know, there's a lot of people who come forth during these cases and during the investigations and after everything is concluded, acting like they know the whole story or giving their two cents and all that kind of stuff. So you guys might find differing information than I relay, but this is the best information that I could find regarding this case. And it appeared that Adrienne, who was a mother, was 47 years old, and had a plethora of skills relating to firearms. She was a hunter. She was a concealed carry permit holder. She was proficient with firearms. She was out here in Michigan preparing a cabin for the winter. Michigan winters are harsh, and it was already mid-October. I think this cabin ended up belonging to her uncle, I believe is what everybody kind of concluded, even though there, again, there's differing reports, but and she was there alone on this particular day that she went missing, but her boyfriend had been there with her a few days prior, it seems. So this is kind of out in the middle of nowhere, Michigan. It's a small village. And so we're going to have dark skies out here. We're going to have deep woods. We're going to have wilderness. And the landscape has kind of been described as kind of marshy. And I will throw a picture of the cabin up on the screen if you're watching the YouTube. If you're listening to this on the podcast, please feel free to check out the YouTube so you can see this picture of the cabin. And before I even get started, I want to let you guys know that I am going to be throwing this image of this cabin up onto the screen multiple times during the course of this podcast, because we're going to keep revisiting how weird this cabin is in regards to some of the details that we will talk about very soon here in this episode. So, according to investigators, the family friend received a call from Ada that lasted about 4 minutes and 27 seconds. The call involved details about a shootout with two men and Quintal. According to police, she told her friend that she had shot one of the men in the face and that the other man was returning fire. Quintal then asked the family friend to contact the police. She didn't call the police, she called her family friend, and that family friend called the police. Very strange. When Benzie County Sheriff's deputies arrived at 4900 Indian Hill Road at 3:15 a.m., they found several bullet holes in the window of the cabin. They searched the area around the cabin for evidence of any injured person, but found absolutely nothing. There was nothing there. Authorities add that there was no blood ever found. However, there was evidence of shots being fired from inside the cabin to the outside. And if you know anything about ballistics, you can tell that based on what the gunshot looks like. So there's always going to be a bigger exit than there is an entrance. So if you're shooting from the inside, the bullet hole is going to go through the glass or go through the wall, and it's going to be like a small hole. But on the outside, there's going to be like a blowout. And that was the case at this particular scene. There didn't seem to be any bullets going inside the house, only coming from inside the house. Michigan State Police arrived on the scene and made forced entry into the cabin to investigate, which led to the initial report of suspected foul play. Forced entry, why you ask? Because this cabin was locked, despite the fact that nobody was inside. The cabin was locked from the inside. Officers found Quintal's cell phone, purse, and handgun. Deputies and state police also searched the wooded area around the cabin with canine units and thermal imaging cameras, which sense heat, but were unable to locate any individuals from that search. A search warrant was used for crime lab processing of the scene that included spent bullet casings that were left behind. So this is sort of an initial news article relating to the case. I am referencing a few news articles over the course of this episode. They will be referenced in the show notes. You can go ahead and read them if you want. But this article is not really talking about the weird stuff. So we're going to get into the weird stuff. First of all, Ada's boots and her cell phone were found on the roof of the cabin. I'll just say that again. Her boots and cell phone were found on the roof of the cabin. And some people speculate that that is probably because she knew that the window, that there was a window in the cabin, and she knew that that was unlocked, and that perhaps she felt like somebody could have climbed up onto the roof and made entrance into the cabin from the roof. Therefore, she went up there. But why would her boots and cell phone be left up there? Even if she did go up there to try to prevent an imposter or an intruder, if you will, from entering the cabin, why would she leave her boots and cell phone up there? Her empty 9mm handgun was on the ground below where the boots were found, and the car that she was using was parked nearby. Here's another weird thing. A mixed breed dog that her and her boyfriend adopted only 10 days earlier from the Benzie County Animal Shelter was found unharmed inside the locked cabin. It's less likely now that this is a suicide. She's adopted a dog and has the dog with her, and the dog is unharmed inside the building. Very strange. Some of the bullet holes that were found at the scene were found in the ceiling inside the house, almost like she was firing up into the ceiling. And remember, she's proficient in firearms. This girl could shoot. So she would only be shooting at the ceiling if she felt like there was something in the ceiling. Adrienne, of course, was nowhere to be found. At the time this particular article was written, it had been 5 weeks since the 47-year-old mother known as Ada was last heard from. Her disappearance has become a baffling mystery that has spawned multiple theories about what happened to her, and they range from the bizarre, such as she was abducted by aliens, to the skeptical, such as she staged this event so that she could disappear. It started when Ada used her cell phone to make a 4-minute, 27-second-long phone call to a family friend in Warren at 2:34 a.m. on October 17, 2019, saying that she heard noises at the cabin. According to Jenny Bryson, who is Quintal's older sister, Bryson said that the conversation escalated, with Quintal telling the friend there were people outside, that she had shot one of them in the face, and to call the police immediately. The friend tried to get Quintal's address and called her back immediately after calling the police, Quintal's sister said, but the call went straight to voicemail. In all of this chaos, it seemed that Quintal had actually accidentally given the wrong address to her friend, and that resulted in a delay of police getting to the cabin. It has been said that she didn't seem to really know the address by heart, and part of this four and a half minute long conversation on the phone, her last words, if you will, were her looking for papers that had the address of this cabin on it. It's interesting that the calls after the police were notified went straight to voicemail. That implies that the phone is already shut off. At the writing of this article, Quintal hasn't been seen or heard from since. It's gut-wrenching. I lay awake every night wondering where she is, Bryson said. So about 8 minutes after Ada called the family friend, Benzie County Central Dispatch received a 911 transfer from Michigan State Police Metro Dispatch. The friend told Benzie dispatchers that Quintal was involved in a shootout with two men. She said that Ada told her that she shot one of them in the face and that the other man was shooting at her, returning fire, and she was shooting back at them. The Benzie County Sheriff's Office said in a news release earlier this month, it stated that Quintal told the friend to call police for her and provide an address that turned out to be the incorrect house number. At 3:08 a.m. on October 17th, Benzie Dispatch got the correct address from one of Quintal's relatives, and 7 minutes later, authorities approached the cabin. They found multiple bullet holes in a window and searched for an injured person or evidence of an injured person. They forced entry into the cabin, but found no one inside. They found no blood or evidence of someone who had been hurt in or around the cabin. But they did find evidence suggesting multiple shots were fired from the inside of the cabin to the outside of the cabin. There were about half dozen bullet holes, including one in the ceiling. Sheriff's detectives Lieutenant Troy Lamerson told the Free Press, he said, a portion of the ceiling rafter was cut out to retrieve a spent bullet. A driver's side window of Quintal's vehicle was also struck. Lamerson said that there were casings around the outside of the cabin from what appeared to be multiple guns, with some casings older and rusty and others newer. So, that kind of implies that maybe just guns were fired here before and not necessarily in this particular exchange of fire. Some of these bullets, these casings, had probably been here for a while, unfortunately. Lamerson did say that the vehicle that was struck was actually registered to Ada's boyfriend, who had been at the cabin with Quintal but left in another vehicle that he owned 2 days earlier to return to Metro Detroit. Lamerson said Quintal had tried to call two other people who he declined to identify prior to calling the family friend that she ultimately got a hold of. He said the family friend told police she heard multiple gunshots in the background while on the phone with Ada. Lamerson said the house was secured from the inside, but authorities found some windows at the cabin open. And I want you guys to take another look at this cabin. I'm throwing it up on the screen now. Some of these windows had bullet holes in them. He said Quintal most likely got out of the cabin through a small window on the west end of the house. From there, she may have climbed onto the roof, where police later found her boots and cell phone. It's unclear how her gun ended up on the ground. No notes were left behind, Lamerson said, and there is no video footage that authorities have found. Neighbors are pretty spread out, Lamerson said, but one living in the area thought they heard gunshots about 2:30 a.m., which lines up. He said a neighbor spoke with Quintal on October 16th, and it appeared that everything was fine. Lamerson said authorities had a couple of call-in tips in widely different locations about people who look like Quintal, but nothing has materialized. We've not ruled anyone out as a suspect or ruled out any possible theories on what could have occurred, he said, adding that everyone is a person of interest and no one is in custody or charged. So we've got a lot going on at this particular scene. The reason I want you guys to look at the cabin again is because I want you guys to see how high up these windows are. Some people say that these windows were 6 to 8 feet off the ground. That's an extremely tall person to be looking into the windows in order to be shot in the face. That's, like, those windows are pretty up there. And what is the reason that somebody would climb up onto the roof? The reasons that come to my mind immediately are all strategic. She wants to have the higher ground. She wants to be in such a position that she can see everything that's going on around the house instead of just running around inside the house looking through windows. I see both of these as reasons that she could be up on the roof, but not reasons that she would be up on the roof without her boots on. It does feel strange that she would have time to grab her boots and climb to the roof, but not grab her boots and put them on and then climb to the roof if she didn't already have her boots on in the first place. Her cell phone also being found up there, but her gun being found on the ground, suggests that she dropped her gun at some point, or she left her boots and phone intentionally on the roof, dropped her gun, and fled. There's no other reason that she wouldn't have her gun on her at all times, unless perhaps she had expended all of her ammo. But I've also heard reports that there was a lot of ammo in the house, so she could have reloaded if she needed to, if she was actually being invaded, if the cabin was being invaded. Lamerson said authorities have a couple different theories. Lamerson said authorities have several theories about what may have happened. He said those theories include that Quintal, Ada was abducted, like taken by another person. She may have had some type of medical or other problem that caused her to believe that people were after her, and she fled into the woods and swamp area. This is exactly what they said about Colin Finnerty. Oh, he has some kind of medical issue, and it caused him to act this way, so he ran himself to death into the woods. Same story here with Ada. They're trying to use that. Another is that the incident was staged because Ada wanted to get away from her life, or was in fear for her safety and wanted to get away. First of all, those are two different things in my opinion, but if she did want to get away because she wanted to change her life, so like effectively grown up running away, you don't have to stage it in this way. You can just go. You're a grown up. But furthermore, it is weird that she had a brand new dog that she had just adopted. She had a boyfriend. She had a son. She was taking on a responsibility to assist her uncle in winterizing this cabin. She had a refrigerator full of food. She had a house full of ammunition. It seems strange. She also didn't have a vehicle of her own, so just running into the woods feels bizarre. It's almost like, why wouldn't you stage this somewhere else where you weren't in the wilderness? Lamerson said authorities haven't located any evidence consistent with people being at the cabin, and that they checked hospitals to see whether there were any gunshot victims who might fit what Ada told the family friend that morning on the phone. So, like, they're... this Lamerson guy, remember, he's from the sheriff's department or the police department, whatever, and, they're looking for people who were shot in the face. That's what this is saying. They're looking for people at local hospitals who have been shot in the face. It's important to note that this isn't super far from Detroit. So we all know Detroit's kind of like this super violent place. But regardless, it's not far-fetched to believe that there may be somebody who meant, maybe like a squatter who meant Ada harm because she was in this cabin that they had previously been squatting in, and if she did shoot somebody in the face, most likely they would either be dead or in a hospital somewhere. So the police did check. There was nothing. But it's also reasonable to believe that we would find blood at the scene if somebody had been literally shot in the face. The face is one of the places that bleeds more than any other part of the body when it becomes injured. The sister then said that she discounts a lot of the theories, including some of the wild suppositions posted on Facebook, because obviously this was taking off like wildfire. And so she doesn't believe in any of these things like alien abduction, just because of what she knows about her sister, she says. She called Ada a beautiful girl who is the youngest of four siblings. She said Ada graduated from Warren Fitzgerald High School and has been a concealed pistol license holder, as we already said, for over 10 years and never went anywhere without her handgun. She said her sister was an extremely good shot. She also said that her sister had worked in the auto industry as a contractor for an engineering firm as a database analyst, but did have some health issues and was laid off. Bryson, her sister, said that Ada hadn't been working full-time for about 2 years, but was doing odd jobs, and that her uncle paid her $500 to make some repairs on this old cabin because he's getting too old and is unable to do all the work himself. So there you go. She said that Ada doesn't buy the theory, Bryson said that she doesn't buy the theory that Quintal would stage her disappearance, saying that Ada loves her adult son too much to just put him and other relatives through the heartache and pain. If her sister wanted to leave, Bryson said, she would have left a note and taken her purse at least. her vaping devices, and a vehicle, all of which were left at the cabin. I mean, good points, to be honest. Bryson also said that her sister was involved in an altercation in Metro Detroit in July in which Ada was seriously hurt and hospitalized. Bryson declined to go into too many details so as not to impede the investigation into her sister's disappearance, so not exactly sure what those injuries were, but Quintal's nose was broken in the altercation and she had a concussion, which Bryson said might be considered a traumatic brain injury. And it has been speculated that maybe this caused her to suffer some kind of mental breakdown that night, which led her to react the way in some erratic fashion and disappear into the forested swamps where she drowned or overdosed and, you know, passed out in this water and then drowned. She was found roughly 45 days later. I think I couldn't find the source, but it was something like 200 yards from the cabin. So, I mean, we're talking like if she is trying to like change her life and run off, she's not getting very far. I mean, how do you only get that? What causes you to die like that? Like, that is just the worst runaway attempt ever. I'm not buying the whole runaway thing. I don't think she was just trying to stage all this to get away, and then she ended up drowning in 3 feet of water, like 200 yards or whatever it was from the cabin. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. It's also kind of weird to me that they couldn't find her until 45 days later, despite the fact that they were using all of this tech and all of these individuals to try to find her. So you guys know that I always go into these back rooms to find information on these cases because the government actively suppresses this kind of stuff so that there is not any information relating to other answers besides she had a traumatic brain injury or she drug overdosed. Those are the only things they want us to believe happened. But there are some interesting theories out there. For instance, why were her boots and cell phone on the roof if she was running away? Great question. This could have been an abduction, an actual kidnapping where she was later murdered and dumped. I don't think it was staged by her, but that is another speculation. If the cabin was locked, why? Why was the cabin locked? Especially knowing that she's passed away not far from the cabin. No boots, no gun, no resources of any type, no cell phone, nothing. Why is the cabin locked with her on the outside? Very strange. She claimed to have shot an intruder. How could you mix that up? Like, how do you not know if you shot somebody in the face? Another one of the questions is, why did she initially give the wrong address? I've done that personally. I have reported the wrong address, even in places where I live, because when you are in situations of extreme stress, sometimes you can't remember all of your address. It just happens that way. Even now, when I'm like driving to some place and I'm making an order online or something, I still have to ask my wife and just be like, what is our zip code again? Like, even though I've lived here for a year, like it doesn't surprise me that she didn't know the address, especially if she was in extreme stress. So did she make this call under duress? Was she already being held prisoner and she was making an escape attempt while on the phone? And who the heck is her boyfriend and what's going on with him? Like, why don't we have more information about her boyfriend who left his vehicle there and also left her there? Another interesting fact is that her ex-husband actually put out a $10,000 reward for any information. It would later come out that he really likes her and cares about what happened, and so therefore he contributed to the reward, which isn't super far-fetched at all, in my opinion, but it is interesting. So there's a couple possible theories about various aspects of this case. She may have put her phone in her boots, which is where the phone was found, because there was potential evidence on it that may not have been released by the police. There may be evidence of what's going on, what happened to her on the phone, but the police did not release it. And fearing that it would get destroyed, she put it in her boots, put it up on the roof for it to be found later. That would be super smart, in my opinion, because that's not really something that people are going to be looking for. Like intruders, like kidnappers, they might not know that you did that. It's also possible that the attackers did that. The intruders, the people who came for her, these strange figures that are apparently super tall and able to take bullets to the face, who may have abducted Ada, it's possible that they put her cell phone and boots on the roof in order to keep the cell phone from tracking her location as they took her or, you know, pursued her. But let's not forget, too, that her cell phone was off. So she must have shut it off somehow, or it died. It's not exactly known. This person wrote, "I don't know very much about this case, so I can't determine her personality or what her personal life was like to make any real assessments. I copied part of an article, and the link contains the full article and features a photo of the cabin." That's the one I already read to you guys. Adrienne, 47, at the time of this writing, has been missing for 5 weeks. The evidence seems suspicious to me. However, any missing person under these circumstances has to be taken seriously, regardless of whether or not it looks staged. Someone could have staged it to make it look staged, and if she did stage it herself, she might be suffering from a mental break and needs help. What this person doesn't know is that she was found deceased. Adrienne adopted a dog 10 days prior. Why would you vanish after that? If she is suffering from a psychotic episode, her thought process is bound to be scattered. That's true, but this can't be the excuse for all of these missing person cases where people report seeing figures coming out of the woods to kidnap them. There's something weird going on here. Many times a person experiencing psychosis suffers from delusions and paranoia, fears of persecution that seem very, very real. I read a story about a woman, Linda Bishop, this is another missing person case, who disappeared from her family and lived in an abandoned freezing house, surviving for months on apples and melted snow, and she died of starvation. I really kind of want to do an episode on her case because it is also extremely, extremely bizarre. But why do we immediately go to she had brain damage? That just, especially if you've never shown, if you haven't shown signs of having brain damage, why is that the thing we run to? And then the second is just drugs. We've got some other random thoughts here. Apparently, it's been reported that months ahead of time, she failed to deposit her employment checks. Why? Like, if you were going to disappear, you would think that you would be trying to save money, right? So, like, why did she have uncashed checks from her previous employer? Doesn't make any sense. We have some other stuff, like, was her ex-husband paying alimony? Is it possible she didn't shoot anyone in the face but thought she did? Of course. The shot into the ceiling could suggest a ground struggle, meaning there was some kind of struggle going on inside the house in which a bullet was fired accidentally. Why would she leave if she faked it or whatever? Why would she leave and lock the door? Is it to keep the dog safe? the dog that she left behind inside? Why did she take no personal possessions? That implies that she was fleeing for her life. If you take literally nothing, and even apparently chuck your gun and phone and boots and you don't bring any of it, that is so unnatural that you have to be fleeing for your life, because any second is wasted time that could lead to your demise. That is the mindset you're in if you're leaving your boots, your phone, everything you have, even your dog. Not even your dog is running out the door with you. And you're leaving your gun that you have as well, and all of your ammunition. You're leaving the safety of the cabin, which is apparently no longer safe, and that's why you're fleeing. But you're also locking it from the inside. Very, very bizarre stuff here. Now, if she exited outside of a window, if she exited through a window to the outside, then that explains why it's locked from the inside, because, you know, she went through a window. But a person being dragged out of a house will not lock the door behind them. So if she was kidnapped, she would have had to have been kidnapped through a window, or the kidnapper would have had to go inside and lock the door after she had already been removed from the cabin, or there's something paranormal going on. But an intruder or attacker probably wouldn't lock the door. It just is probably something that wouldn't happen. Did she try to escape out of a window because the door itself was blocked, or there was an intruder at the door? Is that why she shot the window? Or did she try to shoot at someone outside through the window? And did she miss? Did she ask if she could shut and lock the door, thinking perhaps she would return, and then tried to flee once she was outside? The boyfriend, who had his car there, was at first cooperating, but now not so much, and ended up lawyering up and not really answering any more questions without his lawyer present. Which you can go ahead and say, well, that sounds sus, but in a case like this, I'm not going to lie, I would probably lawyer up too, just because it is freaking weird, and it looks and sounds like a murder. And if she's driving my car, and I'm gone, and I had left a couple days earlier, I'm going to be kind of like wanting to lawyer up too, because I don't know what's going on, I'm going to get a lawyer. I totally understand that. Another point is the phone call to the friend was 4 minutes and 27 seconds long, and that's a long call for someone who wants to disappear and risk help coming before they can leave. Great point, especially since she tried to call two other people prior to this person. It is unclear as to whether the friend got the address wrong or Adrienne gave the wrong address, which under extreme stress and panic is a possibility, kind of like we already said. Adrienne couldn't have gotten far on foot. She left the car behind. How far could she realistically wander without search parties and drones seeking her out? All of this kind of stuff leads to foul play. An update was posted before this person deleted their account saying family and friends have found Adrienne. She had been missing for 2 months, which is the case. Her body was found submerged in 3 feet of water. There you have it. And the generally accepted result or reason for her death is that psychosis seems like the realest possibility. When you're experiencing psychosis, your reality is different and flawed, and she spooked herself, ran off, and succumbed to the elements. There is sort of a place for this idea that she survived out in the woods and the swamp barefoot and with nothing for a certain amount of time before falling in the swamp and dying. There is definitely, I guess, a world in which that could have happened. It sounds horrifying. But if she really was suffering from some kind of psychosis, where she just, her reality was just a waking nightmare. And she was just running around in the woods frantically at night, just like Colin Finnerty was, until she eventually just died, which is so weird to me. Like, just imagine, like, if you can right now, just imagine that you are, like, in your house, but somewhere not far from you, maybe a mile away or less, somebody is just frantically running through the woods, panicked, in some kind of alternate reality where things are chasing them through the woods, and they believe it so much so that they didn't even grab shoes, and they got in a literal gunfight, and then that person just falls flat on their face and dies in the woods or wherever. You know, when I posted the Colin Finnerty episode, I got some comments saying that he had taken too many hits to the head playing football, and that he was experiencing an alternate reality that wasn't real. But even when your brain is damaged, that doesn't mean what you're seeing, in my opinion, isn't real. You might just be able to be seeing things that other people can't see who no longer have the brain that you have. Theirs is now considered more healthy than yours because yours is damaged and you are experiencing a certain type of psychosis, but that doesn't mean that what you're seeing isn't there. I don't know. That's just my opinion. I don't know what to make of this case. It is one of the strangest missing 411 cases that I have researched, and it's another one of those cases that I found just by accidentally reading comments. And I just found it, and I had to look into it, and the more I look into it, the stranger it gets. It doesn't seem like the case where Adrian was essentially punched and thrown to the ground and experienced a concussion is enough to cause this, in my opinion. It's also been reported that I've seen reports where both drugs were found in her system and drugs were not in her system. It's almost like you can't trust the reports because it seems like they're going to want to give you a conclusion that makes the most sense, which is this was an overdose. And that is generally what has been accepted as the real deal. But what do you guys think? Do you guys believe there was some kind of foul play? You know, like, what is up with all of these strangers coming out of the woods and following people or attacking people or taking people when it comes to missing cases in Michigan? Do you guys think there's some kind of, like, are these feral people? Are these abductions from, like, aliens? Are these supernatural entities? Do you guys have any opinions on this stuff? You guys should let me know in the comments. All right, guys, it's Thanksgiving. I'm going to go hang out with my wife and my dog a little bit more. But thank you guys all for tuning in on this lovely Friday. I hope you guys can just have a chill day, and I will talk to you guys next week. And don't forget to like, follow, and share the podcast. I need all of you guys to show all the love that you can. This is the only way that the 21CD podcast will grow. I've got a lot of stuff that I want to do in the near future, and I can't do it without you guys supporting the podcast. I appreciate all that you do. So remember, don't drink the water. Question everything. Later.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.